good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, August the 4th, 2016, 1:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I want to thank from our first hour, Representative Joyce Beatty here from Ohio, who sat up in the box with Bill Clinton last Monday at the Democratic National Convention. And also, you might remember her from the big dress flap last week, where she apparently wore a dress that looked like Melania Trump's. So, Joyce Beatty, we thank her for being on. And a guy you might remember, how great it was last hour to talk with John Anderson, 1980 independent candidate for president against Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter, 94 years old, still living a happy life. John Anderson, we thank him for coming on. And next hour, don't forget, we have 101-year-old, oldest current former living member of Congress, Ken Heckler from West Virginia, who worked for Harry Truman, interviewed people before the Nuremberg trials, one of which was Hermann Göring, Hitler's second in command, was in World War II, and was the only member of Congress to march with Martin Luther King Jr. in Selma, Alabama. Ken Heckler, who will be 102 next month, by the way. He'll be on next hour. Now, who is the only person who could fit in between all that? Well, I'll tell you, it's a person I truly love. He has been on this program more times than I can count, and I want to keep counting until the end of time. He is a legendary newsman. He is the blueprint for how to do jobs like these, and trust me, guys like myself will never achieve what he has done because he did it so well. From the Jack Parr Tonight Show to the Today Show to 2020, by the way, he's also from Ohio, which doesn't hurt. One of my favorite people. So glad to have him back on the show. I don't think we've had him on since February. That's way too long. You Downs. Mr. Downs, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
You, I gotta tell you, the other day I was on YouTube, on the internet, looking at some clips, and I came across an interview you did in July of 1993 on 2020, with Barry Goldwater. Do you remember that? Do you remember that?
I do remember that. No.
Mm-hmm. What?
He was quite a person. He was misunderstood, I think, and they used him to make him the captain of super conservatives. He was not that way at all. He really was quite liberal. And he finally got that across, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't until he had been used, I think, and he felt that.
So many people in this political year have compared Donald Trump to Barry Goldwater. You sat with Goldwater. Would you make that comparison?
Absolutely not. It would be so opposite. First of all, Goldwater was smart, and secondly, he had a... His personality embraced a kind of I would call it not a pity, but a desire to do good for people. And I don't think Trump has any of that. Trump is centered, and he just blows things up, and he's busy with destroying, and the concept of his being the president makes me shudder. You know, here you imagine that the guy is sitting in the Oval Office with a pen and a telephone and access to the code of the weapons of mass destruction, you know, nuclear weapons. That just makes you shudder, I think, because it would mean within a generation we'd be at war for some reason that wasn't right. Trump scares me very badly.
Well, that being said, how did he happen? In your opinion, we are less than 100 days from the election, and he could pull this off.
That's true, and I think the reason is that sometimes a small cult of people can be so welded to their idea of what things ought to be that they are more apt to vote than people who are calm. And a lot of people who could vote and should don't, but the screwballs, the ones that are terrible, will vote, and they voted. It's incredible.
You know, it's been absolutely amazing, Hugh, and I want to run through some of the things that Trump has done, not in this entire campaign, but just in the last week, and just give me your thumbnail sketch. One of the things he did was he said he will not endorse the current Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and John McCain, he won't endorse him, a war veteran, and said that John didn't do enough for people in the service, and that's why he won't endorse him. This POW.
Yeah, that's just crazy, you know. And his desire to hang on to what he has said about the family of a hero, a genuine hero that was killed. You can't imagine. I can't imagine any person that centered on himself that he would publicly say that this family of a hero could be dealt with in an uncouth manner.
Here is a question I could not ask anybody else in the world, I don't think, but I can ask you. Donald Trump is the first person since Dwight Eisenhower to get the nomination of a major political party who has never been in politics prior to the election. You sat with Dwight Eisenhower. Would Dwight Eisenhower appreciate Donald Trump?
I think he would just curl up and explode. He would not appreciate him at all. He would be. First of all, Trump would not understand what Eisenhower is saying, but believe me, Eisenhower did understand all of that stuff. And anybody like Trump, who was, I would say, unique. I never in the history of our country, I never ran across anybody in the politics or out of that was like Trump. And the people who liked his directness had no knowledge at all of the facts about him, that he didn't know, he really didn't know anything. He has no knowledge of policy or what would be international politics, because that's inevitable. But that group was on fire to just focus on their idea, and that's what, and they voted, and that's where it came from. So it shows that if you don't vote, you're encouraging a situation like the one we have right now.
Now, you, in your time, I never knew your politics when you were on the air. From the time of Jack Parr until you left 2020, I never knew which way Hugh Downs voted. But that being said, I think we know where you're going this election. Is there any way to cover Trump unbiasedly, just on what he does and says?
Yes, I think there is. Things that he fails to say. One of the things about his bigotry is it's so honest and transparent. I watched this, and maybe you saw it too. He was on a Trump rally, and this is the last time this happened, because if you already have a question from the audience in a Trump rally, that question today would be vetted by a committee to make sure it was right, and then they put it on a card, and they get the card to him. But back then, the Trump rally would allow somebody to ask a question, and a woman asked a question, how do you feel about white supremacy and the Ku Klux Klan? and things like that. And he actually said, well, I really don't think I'm in a position to answer that because I don't know enough. I have to research some things in order to come up with an answer. And I thought at the time, I thought how wonderfully honest his bigotry was, because he just poured it out. He was bigoted enough to say that he couldn't answer the question. And that was a terrible position to put himself in. I don't think he knew it.
Well, it's interesting because this is how general time works. These two things just came over the wire, so I guess you know about as much as them as I will here. But apparently, Donald Trump, in a rally in Florida, just said, and this is the quote, he said, "Those people that knocked down the World Trade Center most likely, under the Trump policy, wouldn't have been here to knock down the World Trade Center."
Okay. I'm not sure about that. I don't think they would have any reason to destroy the World Trade Center, but the stuff they would destroy is very wide and very very dangerous when you think of it. I didn't finish answering one question of yours on my politics. I was brought up in a Republican family. And then the party went off on a route, and you're right, you could not tell at that time from anything I did on the air whether I was Republican or Democrat or how I felt about that, because I just got so that I didn't want to vote party, I wanted to vote for a deeper thing than that. So I didn't declare myself as an independent. Independent, and for that reason, nobody knew how I felt politically, because I was not. I could go one way or the other, and I was happy to be doing that.
Was it ever hard? Was there ever a campaign or an issue where it was hard not to let your opinion bleed through?
Yeah, that's true, except if I'm doing news, one of the things I've really held to is if you're doing news, you got to not give opinion. But there's nothing wrong with giving opinion if it is clearly made, made clear that what you're doing is your opinion. There's nothing bad about that. But what's bad is you're pretending to be facts. And you're coloring your facts, and there are some people who do that on the air. You can tell how they feel, by the flavor of their reporting.
As an American citizen, earlier on in this interview, you said you would be frightened if Donald Trump became president. If you were still on the air today, how would you cover that with that fear? With no bias?
I don't know exactly, because I don't think it'd be helpful if you drum on the fact that this that would be an awful situation. But I think that would tend to depress people who receive your work, who listen to you on the air or so forth. So I soft pedal that, because I don't want to be just a gloom monger, and I try to stay away from that. But I won't stay away from it if I have to answer. And you're right, even through 2020. Excuse me, I kind of kept very carefully not to do any factual reportage, and then if I did want to do opinion, it would not be in the news report at all. It would have to be on its own, and clearly identified.
In your time, has there ever been even a fringe candidate, and you saw George Wallace, that is like Donald Trump?
Yeah. Yeah, sort of. George Wallace was very bad, but I think not as bad as Trump, because I don't think Wallace could command the radius of people and, you know, the influenced. But because Trump got a hold of people from very great distances at times, and that makes him much more evil and dangerous, I think, than Wallace or any of the others I think of in the more remote past.
There, also in this past week, and I want to get to this, these are just, if it wasn't real, you'd think it was made up. But in the last week, Trump has called Hillary Clinton the devil and said President Obama is the worst president in the history of the United States. Yeah. What do you make of those comments?
Well, first of all, it's so unpresidential to do what he did. It doesn't matter how you feel about some of them, about Obama. Obama is, whether he is as guilty as everybody says, you don't really plaster the office of President of the United States in a way that shows that you have no respect for it. And that's what he has been doing, and I think it's very dangerous and very, it's very transparent also. It shows what he is really like. He has no respect for the highest office in this country.
Whether or not you like Hillary Clinton or not, and it is politics, is it okay for him to call her the devil?
I think he may do himself more harm than he does her, because any sane person listening will not buy that. And therefore he is doing something to himself by exposing what a bigot he is. If he really believes that she's a devil, then he's a member of a religion that I that scares the hell out of me.
I do want to swing the pendulum here so we can be fair. Now, Hillary Clinton has her problems too. Since we talked last, the FBI director said there would be no charges pressed, but that she had been extremely careless and that some of the things she said in public did not exactly jive with what she was telling them, the FBI, and that maybe she had lied to the public. And her trustworthy rating, even after the convention, cannot get above 34%. Is that okay? Is that right? Is that fair?
Well, I don't know. It's possible that she said some things and later realized that they weren't true. But I don't think the whole idea that she was doing a lot of lying is based, I think, on the early charge against her that she said some things that she publicly stated things about policy that were already locked into the United States policy. These things were top secret and they were logged that way. But that was later. But the earlier charge against her was that she had let loose some real secrets. And when that was proved to be untrue, it still stuck that she had done something with something that was top secret. It just wasn't top secret at the time she did it. I think based on that fact, most people know that's the truth of it. But some who don't like her and want to do harm to her, want to say bad things about what she did, and that call it her baggage and everything. And I don't think that's ever worn off entirely. But if she really had done what was charged, she, believe me, she would have been in the slammer a long time ago. It would have been a real felony. And no, and head of the FBI didn't believe that, and a lot of people who were super rich didn't believe that.
One of the things that's interesting is when we open up the phone lines here, we have a lot of people who call in who say, there's no way we could vote for Trump because of what he says, but we can't vote for Hillary either because we just don't trust her.
Yeah, I don't know. That feeling of distrust goes past me. The worst thing I can think about Hillary is that she will operate in an aura of, I don't know what I call it, same old, you know, where she would tend to do things that other contenders for the other people with their hats in the ring think ought to be done, and they can be done by them. And that she's not likely to do it, and that's true. She isn't too likely to make big changes, particularly big changes that she would not have the power to make. So that's the basis of the distrust, and I don't think it's justified.
Is it okay to vote for? We had John Anderson on in the last hour, and I'm sure you remember John Anderson.
Yeah.
Is it okay to vote for a Gary Johnson this time? Is that throwing away your vote to vote for a third-party candidate, in your opinion?
I don't know. You know, I don't really have a lot of opinion about that, but I'm not sure I understand what you meant about if you had about the way the vote would be set up.
A lot of people seem to feel that they don't like the Republican, they don't like the Democrat, so they're going to vote for the third party or not vote at all. If you do that, is that throwing your vote away?
I think so. I think so. At this stage, it really is. I don't think it is any good for anybody. You know, it's not good for anybody to act on that basis. They do throw away their vote, Grant.
You were less than a year old when women got the right to vote. Not many people you can say that to. Did you ever think you'd live to see the day when a woman got the nomination of a major party for president of the United States?
No, that seemed like it was a distant dream. And people thought, but wasn't sure that I'd see it in my lifetime. My lifetime's been quite a long time now, but so it's come to me rather suddenly that we've got the strong prospect of a woman president of the United States, and that will really, I think following that will be demolition of the inequity there is where women don't make 70% of what a man makes for doing the same thing as well. And that's what surprises me, because I'm very glad to see that happening now. And I think it will represent a great liberation of women.
Just to wrap up this portion of the conversation, I want to ask it again. If you had to describe Donald Trump to somebody who had never met him, if somebody came in from another country and said, tell me about the presidential candidates, tell me about Donald Trump, what would you say?
Well, I'd say that Donald Trump got his position now as a candidate to when they vote for the presidency on a basis of people who admired his activity because he was kind of fiery and everything, and they thought those people thought that he was getting things done. He was tearing things down, really. He, you know, almost any Trump speech knocks down people and good ideas and everything else. I've never heard a plan from him that once he it scared me because he got a speech. Speech maker, writer, you know, who, like, I don't know, there's a lot of presidents have had speech writers. And when it's well written and you've got a prompter, you can be very effective. Trump is now, and I'm glad he did this, anytime he gets a speech that is good and makes it look like he will have something good to do as a president if he wins. Anytime he does that, he gets off of the rails and goes his own way, and his own way is so pathetically bigoted that I'm just astounded at him. And to describe that is very difficult for for somebody another country or another world.
If you had to describe to that same person the other candidate, Hillary Clinton, what would you say about her?
Well, I'd say that she would make a very good president. She's been in the White House before. She knows the ropes. She knows everything about that kind of thing. She's very bright. And the only valid criticism of her, to me, is that she would tend to leave things as they are. And not really use the power that she would have if she got into the White House as president. I'm not sure of that. I might be dead wrong. Maybe if she became president, she would do a lot of very good things. But she tends to status quo is important to her, and I don't know why, but maybe it's just she doesn't want to move a lot of things around.
So that being said, when November comes in less than 90 days, I don't think I have to ask it, but who would you choose? Where would your endorsement go? Where does your vote go on November the 8th?
Probably, like my son sent a thing talking about what you would vote for. And he said that he would when he got in the voting booth, he would hold his nose and vote for Hillary, which means that if he would never vote for Trump. That's the whole thing. And or you could vote for a vegetarian or a libertarian, right? And a lot of people are doing that. But I think the Republican Party was so damaged by Trump. And it needs repair, and I'm worried about it falling apart altogether, because a two-party system is very important to our safety as a democratic country. And the Republican Party is so divided now, and so unable to get itself together, that I would do what I can to help the Republicans. I doubt very much, and I would vote Republican on something, but I would not allow myself to be used to vote for Donald Trump if he was
so
presidential.
Would it be hard? Will it be hard? Because I know you'll vote in the presidential election. You say you won't vote for Donald Trump. So when you go into the booth, will you have to hold your nose for Hillary, or is that an okay vote for you?
No, my son felt that way, and I don't feel quite that way. I think she's got a lot on the ball, and I think she does well. And criticism of her is so exaggerated that I don't agree with him. That you have to hold your nose if you voted for her. But that was his idea to express that he would not, under any circumstances, vote for Donald Trump.
But you feel that Hillary is the way to go this election?
Yeah, I think she's going to win because more and more, it's between her and Trump. And more people are realizing what Trump really is. And I hope they keep on realizing in the 90 days we've got.
And what is Trump, really?
What is he?
Yeah, you said more people are realizing what he really is. What is he?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know. What's really good is to have somebody in the White House who is competent and all of the qualities that we would like in a leader of any kind, you would want to vote for if you were voting for, and even if the criticisms of that person are there, take a look at the criticisms and justified of a person who is built like Donald Trump. I think it's appalling. And that's why I think Hillary's going to win.
You, we have about 15 minutes left in this interview, but I talked about that Barry Goldwater interview, and I want to play a little bit of that. Hold the line there for a second. I want to go back to July of 1993. This is 2020. Yeah. Hugh Downs interviewing Barry Goldwater, former presidential candidate. Here we go.
Just last year, he continued his outspoken ways by angering many of his own Republican supporters in Arizona when he backed a woman Democratic candidate for Congress, and she won. The years certainly have not tamed him much, even though he's had 4 hip replacements, 2 knee operations, shoulder surgery, and a successful triple heart bypass operation. But as we'll see, he has changed some of his views.
Well, anybody who says they haven't changed in 84 years of living is lying. You have to change. I felt that allowing gays to wear the uniform would be a mistake. And now I've changed my mind. I think it's a constitutional right of a gay to do what he wants to do as long as doing it doesn't hurt somebody else. And nobody has convinced me yet that a gay acting as a gay is harmful to somebody. The last time I was in Taiwan, I asked the commander of the army, "What do you do about gays?" He said, "Nothing." And one of my best friends in Washington, a retired lieutenant general, I asked him at dinner the other night, "In your 35 years as an officer, did you ever meet a gay?" "No." "Did you ever talk about it?" "No." "Yet you're opposed to gays." "Yes." The Constitution gives us the right of freedom of speech, as long as what I say doesn't hurt anybody. Freedom of association, as long as who I associate with doesn't hurt anybody. So I finally said, well, the matter of gays is settled by the Constitution. It's that simple to me. New York.
In his peaceful and mostly quiet life in Arizona, Goldwater remains an anti-gun control supporter.
On the subject of street crime, some of our cities seem to be almost out of control now. How could that be turned around in your mind?
I really think if we paid more attention to enforcing the law, and I mean enforcing it. Now, just this morning's paper told about a 15-year-old girl who had murdered somebody. They gave her 15 years. Why not slam her in the drink forever? That's a very tough position.
You're afraid when she got out, she might do the same thing again.
We got to get tough with these people. When you find a man running a half a ton or a ton of marijuana or dope across the border, throw him in jail and let him stay there. Not just for a week or two, but leave him there.
I wanted to ask about the world economy and the fact that Japanese products, we buy so many of them over here, and so few of ours are bought by the Japanese.
The reason they sold cars over here was they made better cars than we did. Now I think American manufacturers are making cars that are better or comparable with the Japanese. I think there are other countries now that are giving Japan a bad time. France, Germany, Russia, if they ever get started, China, and if China ever gets rid of communist government, I'll give them 20 years. They'll be the leading military power and economic power in the world.
Yeah, that could be...
Well, they work. They like to work. We don't.
On some personalities, I just thought, just a short opinion about Ross Perot.
Well, if I had a business and the business was in trouble, I'd want to get a Ross Perot to come and tell me what was wrong with my business. But if I've got a government in trouble, the last guy I would want would be Ross Perot.
Why is that?
Well, when I first ran for public office, I said, elect me, I'm a businessman. So they elected me. It took me 2 years to find out that a businessman didn't know what the hell was going on in politics.
How do you assess Hillary Clinton and what...
That's hard to judge. She's an activist because she's openly active. I remember women like Mrs. Herbert Hoover, who probably never said much except in the bedroom, and then told her husband what she thought. And that kind of a wife, I think, has more effect on a husband than one who makes the front page of the newspaper. And I'd rather have him that way.
We asked Goldwater where he thought his place in history might be.
History has to judge every man who served any office that's electable. I don't know how they're going to treat me. I may be the worst SOB that ever came down the pike, but I won't lose any sleep over it. I'd just like to be remembered as an honest person who tried.
The prophetic Barry Goldwater, presidential candidate in 1964. Hugh Downs doing the interview from July of 93 on 2020. Hugh, we could play that interview today and it would make the same sense.
I think so, yeah. Barry was, I remember having the last dinner we had with him. He carefully outlined his attitude toward gays and lesbians, which is very, very liberal, toward marijuana, and he pointed out something I had not thought of before. When we made war on marijuana, that was 1936, was when a guy whose name I can't pull up right now, they had the substance hint. You know, if you've got the plant, it depends on what you're calling it. This guy wanted to call hemp marijuana, and that would give it a kind of a sinister foreign name and everything. And to this day, at places where hemp, you can smoke hemp, you can do anything with hemp that you want to if you call it hemp. But if you call it marijuana, you're breaking the law. So here we are making war on a weed, and worse, we wound up making war on a word. You know, marijuana is a different word from hemp. And in 1936, at that time, a lot of jazz band guys were smoking hemp, and nobody paid any attention to it, even after the law came in about marijuana. They went on smoking hemp, which is the same thing. So here we are making war on a weed and making war on a word. And I think we're kind of insane to follow that.
One thing I found very interesting, and that's why I let that clip play a little longer than normal, what Barry Goldwater had to say about a businessman being president. That he
didn't... Oh, yeah. I think he felt that somebody who could run a business was possibly, more suited to be a president than somebody who didn't know anything about business and was only a politician. And I go along with that. I think that was his attitude. And he was not against business at all because he'd been very successful at it. And I on that last dinner we had, I was really astonished and pleased at his liberal stance, which was not publicized at all. You know, of course, because when he ran for president, I feel he was used.
With only about 6 minutes left here, one of your colleagues, Dan Rather, has said that Donald Trump was a creation of the media, that covering him is not a bad thing, but that covering everything he does has made him popular. Do you think he was over-covered?
Yes, I think he got a lot of free time. People would pay billions of dollars. You know, if you wanted to get your product or whatever you're advertising, you'd have to pay an awful lot of money to do that. And he got it free and didn't have to pay an awful lot of money. So he was over publicized. There's no doubt about that.
When you look, well, you're out there in Arizona. I do want to ask this. How do you feel? What's your read on John McCain's chances of re-election? A tough race out there.
I don't know. I don't think it's high, frankly. But it's unjust to be in that position because I think John McCain is, first of all, I think he's a genuine. You could call him a genuine hero, but although he wasn't tortured by the people who got him, his arm is bad for him because of the accident he had with the plane crash, you know, when he came in. But the word hero might be wrong, but I think he's a decent person who wants to do good to humanity. I admire the fact that he is running.
You know, you've been in the media for a long time, and we always have heard there's a liberal bias. Donald Trump talks about it today, a liberal bias in the media. Did you ever see that? Do you see it today?
I see it all the time. And the reason? People who are in the news business are closer to what's really going on than anybody outside of it, and if they're more careful, they will obviously see that the liberal attitude, the liberal stance, comes from the fact that they are closer to what's really happening, and it's bound to be. If you want to call it a liberal bias, we can go ahead and do that. But that's a better stance than the opposite, where people are either ignorant or situated where they want to vote for something occult that really is not good for humanity. But the vote can be powerful, and the vote among the liberal people is not as powerful because they don't get out and vote as often.
When you were in high positions in news, did you have a liberal bias?
Probably. I think probably, but I would, and when I was doing newscasting, I never violated my maxim of giving only facts. And then later on, I could say, I could identify my, my opposite, where I would take a stance that would allow me to, since I would identify it as such, that would allow me to give an opinion, then that's all right, too. But what's bad is people who give news that purports to be just facts, various pure reportage, and then they put liberal bias or whatever bias in it, that's really bad, I think, and there, you see a lot of it going on.
Does liberal in the news business mean Democrat?
Well, the Democratic Party has always been more liberal than the Republican Party, but the Republican Party has been pretty much on the ball trying now to balance the two parties and be sure that the Republicans don't just fall apart. And that's why I've always thought I should do what I can to help the Republican Party so it doesn't evaporate entirely. Although I never was a Republican, and oh, that's not true. I came from a Republican family, and so before I ever voted, they were Republicans, and I, because I got into the newscasting business, I began to have a liberal bias simply because I knew more about what was going on than my family did, and that's what's been happening.
All the years that you covered news with a liberal bias, did you ever think a Republican was right for president?
I'm trying to think what I'm thinking back now to parties like the Bull Moose and what was it? If you go far enough back, you got Whigs and Tories. So it's just hard to say I don't remember a Republican president that I admired or anything. That's a tough question. I can't really give you a definite answer on that.
Final question, just because we just had John Anderson on and he debated Ronald Reagan. Why is Ronald, and you covered Ronald Reagan, why is Ronald Reagan listed as one of the greatest presidents of all time, and he is the patron saint of the Republican Party? Do they have that right?
I don't. That's really hard to say, because you take people who were marching against Reagan, think that he did bad things to American manufacturing and American. I don't think he did bad things, really. But he opened, he had a lot more commerce that was international than had been. And so I have to credit him with that. But an awful lot of people feel that some of the stuff he did to bring that about was not good for the country.
You Downs, the absolute pro, as I say. These conversations are always such a thrill for me. You, I love having you on, and I hope you come back often and always, and I hope these aren't troublesome for you.
What's the last thing you said? I hope what?
I said, I hope these conversations are no problem for you.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not. I don't mind saying what I can say, because if I don't know whether my opinion is of any value, but there's it's of value to me that I can say what I think and not be afraid about it.
And it's a value to us. You Downs. Thank you, you.
Thank you, Scott.
Bye-bye.
See you.
The legendary You Downs. Stay tuned for much more. Don't go anywhere. A third hour today, Ken Heckler suggested this. MSNBC's Rachel Maddow has floated around the idea. So I guess Senator Brown, if